This is the AdNonTech Podcast, conversations about education, technology, and culture, with Dr. Doug Reed and Dr. Matt Stranick. Thank you for joining us.
My name is Dr. Doug Reed, and I am located in Abigwe, the traditional and unceded territory of the Mi'kmaq people.
My name is Dr. Matthew Stranick, and I am located in Manakwisk in St. John, New Brunswick, which is situated on the traditional and unceded territory of the Wolastoqiyik Maliseet people. Hello, everybody, from us and our friends. We got some friendly animal action in the background, as we kind of did with the last episode. Welcome, as ever, to the AdNonTech Podcast. Dr. Doug Reed and myself, as always, here with you. And Doug, just since we literally flicked this Skype machine on, over like the past 2 minutes, I have to wonder, is that like a cushion or what's the thing on your shoulder, dude? If I can just ask the obvious question.
It's a bag my wife gave me for Christmas. She made a bunch of these bags with flax in it, and you throw it in the microwave and warm it up. So it's like a heating pad kind of thing.
Cool. Awesome. Okay. I had no solitary idea as to, it's a nice concept. Well done, Aaron, for being handy like that.
Yeah, a couple of months ago, I got rear-ended at an intersection. That was November, but if I'm still in physio, I'm still in OT, I'm still getting massages on it. And if I do any amount of work, everything just tightens up like crazy. So I woke up this morning and I was like, I'm going to need something. So the bag will be here till it cools off.
So that was owing to yard work around the household and in the springtime outsideness or what? If I can take this a bit further.
More car accident. More having somebody hit me from behind than anything else. But yeah, we did some yard work too, but not as much as I would normally do. And I'm still crazy tight. So I'm just being blind about it. But
I mean, thoughts and prayers. And I know today, folks, I don't know when you're going to see this, folks. I am going to be the first to wish you, I hope, or maybe the last, depending on when you're seeing this, a happy Cinco de Mayo. Okay? Cinco de Mayo. I'm not saying it means much to me or anything culturally, but I like how it's sort of a follow-up to May the 4th. So what I was thinking there, Doug, is thoughts and prayers and May the 4th / May the Force be with you, pal.
Yep.
Totally. So I'm not surprised by this topic, and actually one of the reasons that I've been, for some context, audience, one of the reasons that I've kind of hesitated on getting the previous episode out the door, Clarity in Communication in Education, which is sitting largely done on my computer, but I really wanted to kind of finish the notes around the same time as I was prepping the notes for today's episode, just because I think that while they're two different episodes, two different topics, they just, for me, dovetail really nicely. So to that end, this time around. We are talking about WordPress in education. Certainly, you know, I have like the WordPress tat, as I mentioned. The show is largely hosted on WordPress. That's how it makes its way from being just a video and an audio file into being something you can find on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and the like. So I guess I'm happy to talk about WordPress just about any time and under any circumstances. And Lord knows, you might have to tell me to, you might have to pull out the hook, you know, like, you know. So, because I can just tangent on this for days, which even more so than other things, right? So I guess, Doug, if you wanted to just, as ever, kind of give us a sense of what your thinking was, bringing this one to the foreground, sir?
We haven't done a tool chest chat in a while.
True.
And this has been on my list for a year. And I thought, hey, this, because I like WordPress. I've been using WordPress for a long time. But every time I see your tattoo, that tells me you may be even more of a fan than I am, to be honest.
Well, so fans or followers or of the show or people who just kind of know anything about my past professional trajectory over the past five to 7 years may know that I didn't, and I've said this as recently as an episode or two ago, where I was into blogging, like when blogging first started as a thing, like when the original like Blogspot kind of thing was going on, you know, like late 90s, early aughts, you know, whenever that sort of started to take off. I dabbled largely for literary kind of writing purposes. And I feel like between a Blogspot or a WordPress.com site, as it was at the time, or I had sort of a personal expressive use of it, but it isn't until stepping into my previous role at Thompson Rivers where it was just part of the kit that was being used. And I think actually to the credit of the people who manage the unit, there was a lot of effort placed into having a robust WordPress installation and sort of having that as a way for people to do things like e-portfolios or set up research projects or class websites or whatever. So that was something where I kind of I really stepped away from after not being renewed. And I was like, okay, I have the opportunity here to sort of take something from my previous role and action on it in such a way that I feel is going to be, it's like, okay, the gloves are off. I can now sort of go about what I think would be an effective educational use of this platform without thinking in terms of like, oh, it's bound to an institution or, oh, it's bound to certain practices relative to one university or one faculty complement or whatever. So in a weird way, this has actually been the stepping point from working in the public post-secondary sector for a lot of years into the private sector that I'm now working in its own kind of way. 506 Consulting Limited exists largely as a font and a website, folks. Okay. So if you think you ever want to get into the consulting biz, a website and a font and a Gmail address, I think, are the three things I would recommend from that. So as you can see, Doug, I have just, I won't stop talking about this episode, about this topic until I am asked to or intervene gently by a colleague. So I'm just going to turn it back to you, sir.
Okay. Can you do me a favor then, after you take a drink from your cute little Spider-Man mug? What I'm looking at is, can you give us just like a cheap, simple overview of what WordPress is.
It's an architecture for building websites.
Okay.
It's a blogging software, in as much as the interface is extremely straightforward and extremely simple to use. And I don't know how the technical elements of the technology necessarily work, except to point out that it was built on zero aughts, you know, technology, so 20 plus years. And it's largely based on flat files. Like, you can export all of the content from any given WordPress site in the form of essentially a comma separated value sheet in Excel. That's what the output looks like. And then, in theory, reconstitute that site into any other installation of WordPress that's available with the same plugins and the same feature sets. So if you configured it a certain way on, say, a Thompson University installation, you know, or any public post-secondary in BC, because obviously a lot of them are using it, not just TRU, you should, in theory, be able to export the site and then on your own personal thing, reconstitute it. So that's something that I didn't really have the foresight to do when I was kind of indignantly shuffling away from my role. I kind of think now, oh man, I could have just exported everything from my inbox, my email, whatever, and just sort of kept an architecture or an archaeological or historical record. But I wasn't in necessarily the most productive mindset at that time. But I have done this in other settings. So I've successfully done this just to see that it's possible for my own observance. And it's a fairly straightforward procedure. So that's one of the things about, to speak, I guess, directly to your point or to your question, is really that it's highly portable in as much as it's based on, you know, basically a CSV kind of format. The dashboard and backend elements of any given WordPress installation are going to look the same, except in as much as might be changed or customized by downloading these little sets of software called plugins. I'm assuming people would know what plugins are, although maybe not. And there's a very wide variety of these, like thousands of them available that are just searchable. And again, we could probably speak to what constitutes an effective or robust use of those plugins as opposed to something less effective, but that kind of falls outside the scope of the question. Architecture for the web, something like 30% to 40%, depending on which statistic you look at, of all websites on the internet are built now using WordPress, either on the front or behind the scenes.
Okay, because that, I'm going to jump to my very last reference then. Okay. I know I normally go in order, but Ivanov and Zankova in 2020 did an article called Online Distance Education on WordPress-based Platforms.
Awesome.
And they said in 2019, 60.8% of all web pages that exist are based on WordPress.
There we go. Okay. I've just been bandying it around as in like, well, it's a very significant number/amount. I will certainly take the scholarly information here as opposed to some anecdotal observance.
But it's still, I look at that and it's like, okay, this is massive.
That's huge. Ginormous. Yeah.
If you want to build a web page, this is the easiest place to start. Basically, that's I'm oversimplifying, but that's the way to go.
Well, there's something, an axiom to the effect that when it comes to using technology, processes, and tools, what you should generally aim for the most widely available applications So like Windows stuff as opposed to, you know, Mac kind of stuff. Just, you know, using the, as opposed to the specialized or variant form, unless there's a specific functional user experience and or pedagogical need, since we're talking education, use the simplest tools and processes that you can, unless you can justify doing otherwise, I guess. And certainly I've had a chance now with some development that I've been doing, not to do with WordPress, but in another kind of area of work that I'm like, okay, Microsoft products are going to be the backbone of this thing. Yeah, that's kind of simple, straightforward, widespread, robust, capable of supporting a whole range of personalizations and customizations through plugins.
And that jumps us back to the Scott 2012 article, WordPress for Education.
Excellent.
And they talk about how so many developers have created plugins specific for the needs of educators. And isn't that a nice switch? Because educators normally have to take a product and figure out how to use it in education. And now, even 10, 12 years ago, it's the exact opposite. People are saying, hey, let's do this for educators. Let's do this for students.
Well, and to that extent, first of all, you're totally right. And the most obvious example that I can think of for that would be, again, I suppose, shout out to TRU in as much as having an awareness of H5P, right? We talked about H5P previously on one of these
Tool Chest Chat.
Good Lord, whatever. on one of those, we did the H5P. And so to speak to your point of specifically educational apps, I mean, that's something where anybody with basically a very limited level of digital literacy without having to know any technical aspects of programming, coding, or HTML, or any of that stuff, just really straightforward, what you see is what you get interfaces are baked into building those interactions. And as people may have witnessed in our use of that, so some of the things that I put forward, I'm still finding it kind of, sometimes the simplicity of the interface belies how cool you can actually do some things. So for instance, I discovered even not that long ago that like in an image gallery, you can have a GIF, right? You can have a moving image and not just static images. So from an educational media standpoint, that gives you, oh, okay, that's one more sort of engagement trick or whatever that you can do. And again, with H5P, it's its own file standard as much as anything else. So it can travel. Your H5P interactions can be shared out amongst other people for their own purposes or what have you. But they can also be transported between and among WordPress installations. Or I think where I've seen a lot of potential is it also is now baked into most learning management systems. So if you construct something on a publicly facing format, such as through WordPress, but want to be able to integrate that into a learning management system behind a firewall or whatnot, for whatever reason, you could do that, or vice versa. So again, H5P being just a single example of what you were talking to there, bud.
Right on.
I'm a rambling man.
No, I was looking forward to this. My shoulders are still sore, so, and I know your expertise far exceeds mine. So
I wouldn't call any of it expertise so much as I just really am like, anything that presents a relatively simple interface, anything that has a high degree of potential for customization, to me, like whatever application that would be, whatever you would call that, is something that I'm going to want to pursue as an educator, because to me, that gives an enhanced level of success right out of the gate for students or for anybody else, because there's nothing quite like bad user experience or wonky interface issues to just throw you, right? Like, I mean, how many clicks do you go into a website before you just leave it, right? Because if you can't find it, I mean, if you have to go more than three clicks deep into a resource, I mean, that's as far as I'll go. And I know a lot of people are less patient than me. So, yeah, again, that's just something where the strengths of the format are things that I tend to value in the educational endeavor generally, I suppose. Does that make sense, bud?
It does. And right now you're killing me because, you know, the quote of the, or the quote of the podcast.
Yeah.
I've had three different ones down, and what you just said could be the fourth one. Like, there are so many quotable things you're saying that are just awesome.
Zingers. I got them. I'll tell you, I'm, I've gotten the Glocktopus tattoo. So hence my background, right? I don't know how people are going to be able to see this, but on Friday, I sort of celebrated my third year of being unmarried, relatively. I just figured it was in the May of the month. I mean, it's not the, to the day or nothing, but I'm like, I've been downsizing. I've been shifting vinyl out. I've been getting my whole physical imprint down to something I can fit into six Air Canada bags. And somehow, as a byproduct of that, I saw on the internet just like some random thing. I send you these random things, Doug, you all the time. It was like some kid's picture, not even my kid, some kid's picture of a of an octopus with a gun in each tentacle. And the heading was Glocktopus. And I was just like, oh, my God. That is going to be one of my, I have four tattoos planned. Now I'm down to three. This one just jumped to the front of the queue. And then last night, on Friday, after I sold some more records or whatever, I'm just like, I'm just going to go to that new tattoo shop that opened, and I'm going to see if they'll take an appointment towards the end of the day. And sure enough, a dad and his stepdaughter, as it turns out, a team, working out of there, we're happy to put the Glocktopus right on my inner elbow. So now every time I flex my elbow, the tentacles dance, right? So I'm just like, me and the Glocktopus. I've been referring to it, even like, I swear, people, I'm not cracking up. I mean, not more than normal, but I'm just, me and the Glocktopus are kind of a tag team now. Is what it is. Good Lord.
So,
I'm not even going to pretend that was relevant to anything, dude.
I do have a question. Earlier on, when you're doing that explanation, you talked about some of the things you presented in H5P and WordPress. For people that are listening for maybe the first time or the second time, I think we talked about that about a year ago. Can you give us some highlights of stuff that you've done in WordPress?
Well, highlights. Okay. So for me, I always kind of look at every, endeavor as wanting or being conducive to its own set of resources. So I would even step perhaps outside the bounds of, if we're talking my use of WordPress as a whole, I would even have to step outside of my full, you know, of just this podcast in specific, because to the extent that I've had my own domain through Reclaim Hosting. And then I guess that's sort of the starting point of it for me, just being able to exchange money to a hosting solution that registers a domain for you. So, for instance, this podcast is actually associated with the analogtrope .ca domain, because that was what I thought of as just going to be my WordPress education blog, right? I just thought, okay, I'm sort of in this professional / academic environment now. I'm doing work with WordPress in my role. I'm helping people with educational blogs or possibly e-portfolios or things like that for their classes. So I really was like, okay, I'm a professional of a certain stature, maybe to sort of put myself out there, you know, as in that kind of fashion, analog trope. And I wasn't quite sure. I just thought it sounded cool. I just thought it had a nice ring to it. I still do. But then what I found was that through my hosting solution, Reclaimed Hosting, with that domain, you have the ability of sort of attaching various apps. There are things that I just have no knowledge of or use for. What I do have use for, what I went to them specifically for, was that among the apps you can attach to your domain is an installation of WordPress. And in fact, you can attach, you can just download different instances of WordPress onto your provided domain through what's called the cPanel, right? The place that you kind of interface with all your stuff at the back end for your hosting solution. So I've got essentially seven subdirectories, if you will, running off of the analogtrope.ca main domain. And a couple of them just aren't even visible because they're more for testing purposes. But if we want to speak about it broadly, at one point I thought I was going to maybe have some sort of a literature sort of thing. So I've got sort of a little section just to deal with, you know, poetry and stories. Another one where it was more just of a straight up, you know, personal kind of blog. I've kind of shuttered that for a while. The music podcast is also run out of analogtrope.ca on WordPress. And so all the way down the line, including for the purpose of our podcast, the Sandbox, the affiliated Sandbox site, which I personally kind of put up to do sort of some mild mockery of the OpenETC imagery for the BC, because they actually I'm still blocked from the WordPress of the Open EdTech Co-op because of, I guess, what were perceived as unwanted shenanigans on my part, but I stand by everything that happened. So anyway, WordPress, lots of fun. And now in terms of things that I've been able to do with it, besides kind of make some fun of some past situations through our excellent Sandbox site. Again, I to speak with all sincerity and all honesty, I have to go back to just the fact that I've had the opportunity to present three different lectures now. You were part of one of them, Hassan was part of it, and then I kind of did one solo. And every time there's an opportunity to do one of those where WordPress as a format of delivery is out there and it's hopefully demonstrating through its application implicit and explicit educational values. And so when I see it being sort of those lectures for Dr. Pam Gurney's class, three different classes, one for each of them, the fact that those are there now, they're persistent. And even though I can't actually go to any TRU public website just about, I like the fact that resources that we have prepared on this show are there for the students, because they don't just have to look at the one episode. I mean, they could go through any of that stuff. Maybe they're going to get some laughs. Maybe they're going to think, oh, this is kind of too much. Maybe some of it jumps out in terms of a reference or whatever, a perspective or something. And this is the stuff that actually makes me interested and motivated in distance and open learning, because to have students, you know, putting in questions in the comments, and then for you, me, and Hassan to be contributing back through a Google document and then taking the responses and placing them as certain kinds of media interactions, including sound clips through H5P, including visual presentations through H5P. I haven't really found much use for the enhanced video widget within H5P. But again, really, I'm just going to say one thing. the fact that this has been used lately within 2 years, a year and a half of its inception, if you will, for an educational purpose at the institution where you and I used to spend some time. And I think rightly we got kind of knocked around a bit by those, by that thing, you know, the circumstances, whatever. I just like the fact that it's now a legit part. You know, you can't keep us from teaching to this stuff. I just think it's cool. I just think it's neat, basically, Doug. I just think it's neat.
There is so much of the theme of the educator and pedagogue in what you just said. It's, I'm going to help people learn. And
regardless, I'm just doing what I do as a function of my nature. Like, I'm sorry, y'all, some of you found it annoying or that I don't really play nice all the time with people. I'm working on that. I really seriously am. You know, like me and the Gloctopus were just carrying on as we do relative to what we're capable of, good at, and whatever. I've been on this planet for almost a half of a century. I don't know. Try and fight your nature, you know, like why? I'm finished with that.
Okay, because part of this ties in so nicely with what WordPress allows us to do. I'm going to go to the Avila, Sosco, Breckwood, and Peters article from 2016, yep. Evaluation of the Free Open Source Software. And they talk about how WordPress allows multimedia-enriched e-portfolios to happen and how flexible and a great variety of plugins allow us to make it what we need it to be or make it to what we want it to be. And a whole lot of the examples you just gave are exactly that. It's, there's a tool here. How do I make it do what I want it to do? And I know looking at the sandbox, you've done a bunch of that stuff.
I think that there are some very good, like, despite the obvious satirical intent, which may only be obvious if you were to open the OpenETC and then see those, you know, Warhol chickens or whatever. I'm like, okay, well, turkeys, you know, it was around Thanksgiving when we did it. But then again, it's like, fine. I actually think that sort of falls under what? Creative engagement of a sort with those resources, if you really want to go there. But if you actually like look at it, I'm like, okay, so, you know, turkey in the style of Warhol, fine. Yeah. But then also, what about Picasso? What about, so you get the AI image generator to be like, turkey in the style of whatever, pointillism, abstract expressionism or whatever. And then, like, again, just something that I thought would be cool in the moment, which might be, you know, I leave it to other educators to try. If I had the opportunity, if I had a class, you know, again, I might even do it. It's like, okay, you scroll through it and you go, okay, turkey in the style of, you try and guess without the prompt, what prompt led to this? Is it, and then at the end, you can even have a little slide with, okay, a PowerPoint, here's what each of the slides actually was, and now you can go back and refresh your knowledge, right? Or self-check or whatever. So when I just think about soft assessment opportunities or whatever, it's taken something that might be just sort of typically a static kind of set of resources and just giving you the opportunity to engage with it a little bit more. So also, with that sandbox site, there's a form, right? There's actually a WordPress form because I remember you described it, Doug, on the thing we did, the tool chest chat on Splots. You called them, I think, a lobotomized wiki at one point. Yeah, but I was like, I just wonder about just recreating this functionality. Anybody could upload a thing to that gallery and it'll auto-populate, I guess, after moderation. So semi-auto-populate. Anyway, it's just, so as much as it's sort of a satirical object, it actually has some kind of neat functionality to it. And the fact that WordPress tools are such that I can just kind of, I mean, I don't have anything that you call an advanced level of knowledge. I just have probably more hours using it than most people. So to me, I'm just like, I can throw this together in 2 hours, you know, and actually have it both make me laugh to myself. Nobody else will. I get it. But then also have it perform what could be considered a legitimate pedagogical slash educational media function, both in terms of what it is and what it's capable of. To me, that just makes my little middle-aged man nerd heart beat a little bit. It gives me the palpitations, you know.
See, I remember when I was in K to 12, I was teaching in elementary school or whatever, K to 5 to 9, and people said, oh, here, try this lesson. And it was their lesson, and it was their resources. And I was like, okay, I'll try. And then I had to make it my own.
That's
so
it.
I 100%. Take everything like that. And with WordPress, between the high flexibility and the great variety of plugins, not even including the base functionality, I can make it my own. And your examples, you've made it your own for what you want. And sometimes it's satirical, sometimes it's educational, sometimes it's whatever, right? And that's the whole point, isn't it? Isn't that what we're doing?
I think that anything that we have carried forward on this show is that context is everything. The boundaries between areas of culture and any endeavor are largely superficial, or they're just kind of placed there as organizing principles. So you talk about learning, adding things to the content of your consciousness such that you have a different response than you would have done otherwise, hopefully a desired response. I mean, you can lay it all out in perfect instructional design kind of terminology and perfect curricular terms, and that stuff's all very important. But at the end of the day, you're talking about consciousness, human consciousness, and how it manifests and functions through physical and abstract kind of means. And that's something, I mean, we still just don't know a lot about it. One of the things I'm talking about in the show notes for one of these episodes is the, I'm gonna mispronounce it. It's the Antikythera mechanism. Do you know what I'm talking about with that one? It's that computer from like 200 BC that they found on a shipwreck. And they've been reconstructing it. They've determined it was a very, very, very sophisticated early sort of means of it's an astronomical tool that actually functions according to principles of known astronomy, such that for planting, it's like a crop table essentially is what it was. But it took them a long time to piece that together. And then when they realized how, like, just sophisticated it was 200 years before, you know, Common Era, 200 years before Common Era, it's like, you think about all the stuff that got invented that we just don't even know about. You think about all the stuff that just existed even prior to that in terms of a technology. And I just think, like, man, the whole past is just this undiscovered country just back there. We don't know. So I just think that the fact that humans are capable of this stuff, it just kind of reminds you how much of an aberration, how much of a blink human existence even is on this planet. Really, that's my takeaway from it, dude.
That leads me to something I didn't believe I was going to talk about. Okay. The Hudson expedition, where Henry Hudson, and he was sailing in the Erebus and the Terror, and they sank and they couldn't find them and all the rest for whatever, hundreds of years. And then the locals up in the Arctic were like, well, yeah, our stories say two ships sank there. And nobody listened to them. And then They did the other way. However, the searchers kept searching and spending money. And the locals were like, right there. It's right there. Look, right there. And then they're like, oh, my goodness, look, it's right there. And it's like, you're killing me, man. We know. We kept telling you. You wouldn't listen.
We have known. Yeah.
Yeah, we knew that. How come you're not listening?
Exactly.
Now, yeah. One last article I want to talk about is the Hall 2019. It's negative awesome. And positive aspects of using WordPress to facilitate reflective practice in education. And they talk about creating a WordPress site, and they used it to create an online community. And it was about giving everybody a chance to share their thoughts about teaching and learning and reveal a personal side of themselves. I have seen this butchered in learning management systems where it's go to the discussion forum, right? Go to the discussion forum, comment on one person's post, post your own.
It's canned pedagogy. And for people who have had limited exposure to distance learning, or even for people who are just like new practitioners at it, I've been on the receiving end of it as a student. I didn't think too poorly of it as a student. I did rely on it probably when I was just first doing my first rounds of graduate level teaching. I certainly wouldn't use the canned approach. Canned pedagogy essentially is what it is. I wouldn't do that again. But that being said, I definitely think that there are features of the LMS tool set, if you will, that including discussion forums that can potentially be used really well. Just they're not very often. So
and what I love is educators and developers looked at that and said, okay, we can't change what's going on in the LMS, but we can provide another option that's easy for people to set up. And it works so much better for the sharing and community building that we have talked about. Like even with the COI, if we're doing a community of inquiry, holy smokes, WordPress might be a better way to go about doing it. You might have an LMS in your institution, but link to the WordPress site and get people to go there to do more of the community building there.
Community building is absolutely what it is. And particularly in as much as it sort of puts you in a position of responsibility in a public setting for what you're sort of putting out there, right? It makes you sort of have, you know, you're putting something out, you're representing something deeply personal of yourself for a public purpose, which is very, I think, authentic and in keeping with how we do work, certainly nowadays, how, you know, it's a reputational content-based knowledge economy. And I think I'm somebody who has just completely let it all out onto the internet, just between this and the it's probably like, I don't want to have as much out there as this person, but you think, okay, these people, us, whatever, this is our business, right? Doing stuff online. So it would be kind of weird for there not to be a significant imprint for us through this format. Because it is literally what we have been studying and training for like many, many years, right? So
that's it.
What are some of the negative ones? Is there any reference to that in the article? Like does it point out the negative aspects of WordPress or no?
It did. And a lot of the negative aspects were people that didn't have the technical comfort with it. It was that learning curve at the beginning, and a lot of it was the setup. And when you have educators that are relying on the IT person,
yes,
and some people just don't have that comfort. I think we do. It's like, okay, let's jump in. If we're going to do something, we're jumping in.
I think our level of comfort is such that one of us or either of us or both of us could even do like one of the things, like if I was bringing this to a group of students with what we might call, or learners with varied technical abilities, or, you know, you just meet them for the first time, you're not sure what the threshold is. Part of my process for this, I think, would be if I were in that hypothetical situation, I would have like a how to use WordPress video feature prominently on the WordPress site. And then I would have like, you know, maybe just a 30-minute video or whatever, start to finish, but then I would chunk that down into 10-minute videos on specific topics. So actually, with that last Ed Nontek lecture for Dr. Pam Gurney's class, who actually are there, I think they're starting their new term this week, and it's for this new class, and it's the one that I did solo. And one of my things was I wanted to see how I could make like a 45-minute, hour-plus lecture of me, just without my cohorts, without my colleagues, actually make it engaging. What I did was like, okay, I'm going to turn this into a five-act structure, and I'm going to shoot five miniature videos and then present the longer one as a supercut, and then just with sort of the three salient points from the lecture, sort of each with their own little... I wore a different shirt for each of them, so I could put them in a different widget, and you could be like visually, oh, he's wearing the work shirt in this one. Oh, it's the green polo shirt. That means he's talking about the CMS or whatever. Simple tricks to get people's attention. I've been about that since I was a kid, since I first started writing stories and comic books. Just simple tricks to get people's attention. Something maybe from an insecure childhood. I've stopped questioning it quite some time ago, to be honest. But yeah, educational media rendered in all of its potential, I think, is something that I would say is sort of my winding down summation of why I enjoy WordPress. Did you want to speak to any more of these references, dude, before we get into the phrase, word, and whatnot?
We have covered every single reference.
Fantabulous.
Now, before we get to the images or anything else, I was chatting with somebody that follows us and listens to all our podcasts.
Oh, boy.
And he listens on Spotify. So he every time I say, oh, go to the website, he's like, where's the website? It's not in Spotify. How do I find the website?
Oh, so we need to get that into the metadata that makes its way out to Spotify some manner.
Yeah. Or when he checks it out on YouTube, right? If we could just...
There we go. Yes. So when I put up those just descriptions in the YouTube clip, I can just paste the URL for the episode. Metadata. Love it. Okay.
Enhanced. And one last thing.
Yes.
We have more than one way to get there because you have the Analog Trope site. And I have the 1U1 spot site, the oyos.ca/ENT.
It looks delightful. It looks lovely. I look at it from time to time, and it's still doing exactly what we want them to. So it's awesome.
So that oyos.ca/ENT has all of things captured. Like, here's the website. Here's the link to Spotify. Here's the link to Google Podcasts. Here's the link to – like, it has all of that together.
There are many tentacles to the gloctopus to achieve the goal of having you back up.
One cool thing that I didn't mention but I threw in the images is that WordPress started in 2003. So it's over 20 years old.
I was guessing about 20 years. I sort of figured that was about right. Yeah, that's...
And they've had two different icons. Not a huge difference in the two different icons, but and there's one thing I really like is with some of these memes, Like, one of them is, cheers to the WordPress community for making WordPress so darn good. Because I know with the previous Tool Chest chat, I was pretty harsh and negative, and I think deservedly so. I can't be more excited about a tool that we've looked at than this. I just love the flexibility and making it work for what we want. And there's a whole community out there. It's not one person. It's not us. There are many people working on that. So,
yeah, by its very design and by its very opening position as an entity, it was meant to be community oriented and community derived. It emerges from a lot of blood and sweat equity, you could even say, by a lot of people working off the side of their desks. Obviously, some professional technologists, some venture capitalists, everybody sort of contributing to what they can out of a sense that it's something maybe going to be bigger than itself or something like that. And I really tend to run in the opposite direction from like technology kind of user groups or like I get, that's not how my mind works. I kind of find myself in those situations getting just inundated by the terminology and jargon and culture most of the time. But when it comes to being able to support something that is truly open and is truly just conducive to such a wide range of endeavor, even beyond education, I just, I'm like, I'm all in, dudes. I'm not going to even let my pedantic kind of critical view of my previous role keep me from that, because why? That would be a disservice. I'm just, every time I spend some time with it, there's always something kind of new or neat you can just kind of file away in the cognitive toolkit, because ultimately, technology, as we talked about on the show, is a process. It's not an object. It's not a set of things that are created. The things that are created are just kind of byproducts of what happens in the mind as a precursor to making those things manifest. And so, again, WordPress can be a really effective way of maximizing the ability to realize what you can envision with a very, very low technical threshold to achieve that. So, peace and love, WordPress, etc. So, yeah. What else we got, dude? We have the word, phrase, and question here yet, or you got some of these images?
The images are something that I hope people go to the website and just take a look at. They're all very basic memes that other people have put together. And like, there's the Bill Murray one where he's in Caddyshack. There's the bird dipping a toe in the water. There's Aragorn from Lord of the Rings. One does not simply. I like them all. So
they're all quite good. It's I don't know about Leo, man. Every time I see Leo, I'm just like, I don't know. But maybe that's the point. It's
yes, that is definitely
the smirk, the smarm, like totally. But it's that one's from Gatsby. That's again a classic work of literature. The boomers booming 20s. I was going to call the boomers. These are
roaring 20s.
Roaring 20s. Dang, the Lost Generation, Fitzgerald and such. I love those writers. Anyway, love them.
Me too.
Hemingway. Me too. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's cool, beans. So perhaps
the word of the podcast is WordPress, because that's what we've talked about for this hour. The question of the podcast is my attempt to wind you up. Is WordPress worth using? Because normally I don't give yes or no questions, rarely. Sometimes
nor ought you. That's kind of just basic teacher think 101. Like, why give a binary when you can have an open range, which is by definition a higher order endeavor? So I quite support the question. You said from several options for the phrase, you've arrived at one of them, have you, Doug?
I have. So you had so many eloquent turns of phrase that I had six different ones here.
I'm glad it's, anytime somebody's like, that didn't sound like nonsense, there was something of value there, I'm still just like, great, because I wasn't sure as I was saying it. So,
don't worry. Some of it was nonsense, just in case you were worried about that.
Some of it jumped out. Some of it landed. I'm glad some of it kind of got across. Good.
The one I enjoyed the most is the simplicity of the interface belies the complexity of the product. And I thought, does that hits the nail right on the head. That's perfect.
I am glad that it got said, and I'm glad that we had the opportunity on this episode to discuss forthwith, because as you can tell, myself and my animal cohort, including the Gloctopus, could really spend quite a bit more time even going on about this, given the opportunity. So we shall refrain from forthwith. For the present, my good sir and good audience. Do we have anything else we want to throw out here, bud, or is this
nope. Say two? I don't have anything else. I hope everybody enjoyed it. I hope they learned something, and I'll talk to you next time.
We definitely shall. Looking forward to it, and two episodes coming at you relatively soonish, folks, including this one. Until next time, take care, everybody.
Bye-bye.